Well, you know, philosophically, George, I would say that this kind of committee should take precedence over unions and their agreements with management, because most of those kind of agreements date back to the pre-bylaws days, before we had local station boards that had any kind of authority. So philosophically, I would really support adding something like that in there.
That is, where no other agreed upon means, you would support that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Henry, how do you feel about it?
Well, I guess I'm coming around to being in favor of something you suggested as a possibility, which is removing the sentence. I think that, you know, if these bodies come into existence, what they do and how, you know, what they do and don't do will really depend on the local circumstances and not so much on what language we put in. And I'm afraid basically what I'm afraid of is that this language is going to, even one sentence will bring up a host of doubts and concerns that really aren't essential to the mission, to the concept of the program council, and tie it up in the PND. And, so my current mood is to strike the whole sentence.
Anybody else want to speak to that?
Yeah, I'm concerned about how many ways this could be interpreted, even with all the changes we're making. I mean, what kind of issues are we talking about? Is it specifically just having to do with, okay, programming content, how the program was aired, or the time is being changed, and the programmer doesn't want the change to happen, or is it more the programmer made an, I don't know, anti-Semitic remark, and they're being reprimanded, and they come to this board complaining. I mean, I don't know. I'm concerned about how this could be interpreted.
Well, again, I'm thinking about it in terms of my own experience, but my sense, if a programmer feels he's being taken off the air unfairly for some reason, so the kind of thing you were saying in the beginning, which was, your evaluation of my program, I didn't agree with that. That would all apparently happen within the discussion of the program council by its normal functioning. But this would be something like, you're in the other faction from the one the program director supports, and therefore I'm taking you off the air. You know, that won't be said, but that may be the case. So in my case, I was involved in this was when Amy Goodman was being pushed around by the old board, and there was a protest in front of the station, and I joined the protest, and I was taken off the air for participating in that protest. Now, it seemed to me that was for a station devoted to free speech, that was appropriate behavior. But there was absolutely no place that I could be heard. I mean, the management obviously wasn't going to hear what I had to say, and there was no really LSB then, and there was nothing to be done, really, to even get a hearing. So that was, anyway, that was my own experience. That was really what was, for me, that was what was the kind of thing I was thinking about here. Go ahead, Wesley.
We're on the stack.
You're it. Go ahead.
Yeah, occasionally a programmer will make a mistake, need to be taken off the air because of FCC violations or some other gross violation. And the program council, I mean, that's really not their job to deal so much with that violations. That's management's job. When you, but to replace those shows, there should be input from a body to give suggestions to management, and but I don't see the problem as you see it. Thank you.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Alex. Sure, sure.
The thing is, what you're dealing with are a mix-up of personnel issues with programming issues. Ideally, they should be completely separate. Personnel issues should be handled by whatever goes on between management and unions or whatever kind of organization there is to represent unpaid staff. And programming decisions should not be part of that. However, historically, a lot of the organizations that claim to represent staff have got a toehold into programming decisions. You know, there's various things you're not supposed to do if you're the program director without violating some union contract. You can't. You have to go through all sorts of steps in order to remove a program or, you know, whatever. So that's kind of the problem. There's this mixture of personnel issues with programming issues. So I think if you're going to deal with that, you just have to sort of take the bull by the horns and say, well, you shouldn't, you know, unions should be involved in personnel issues and grievances. They should not be involved in programming decisions. They can be indirectly involved insofar as they get representation on this management committee. In that sense, they could be involved, but not when they're acting as a union and trying to protect the rights of workers and so on. It's too complicated that way. It gets muddy.
Right.
So in the interest of moving things forward, does anyone want to move to strike that sentence?
I will, Henry. I so moved.
Okay. Is there any objection to striking that sentence?
I kind of think you should keep it in, but I'm not, in the interest of, moving forward, I won't object.
Well, you could take a vote on it, and those who prefer it. Is there anyone who feels strongly it should be there?
Yeah.
Other than me.
I think something should be there.
Well, let's take a vote on it. So I have to go call the roll here. Just a minute. Bring it up again. So a yes vote says strike the sentence. A no vote says keep it in. We may want to continue to work on it if it stays in, if it survives this vote. Antina?
Yes.
Wesley?
No.
Ali?
Pass.
Henry?
A yes vote is to strike it?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Yes.
Yes.
I vote yes.
Okay. Alex?
I vote no.
Let's see, who have I missed? Luke, you still there? Luke? I don't hear him. There's one other person I'm missing here. Who haven't I called? I don't have the full list in front of me. I'll let you pass. No, that's it. It's just Luke.
I'm going to vote no.
Okay. I guess I'm going to vote no too. So we'll keep it and make the best of it. So,
Janet Coleman.
Janet, welcome.
Hi. This is because of Wesley calling me to get my vote.
Hi,
to
Janet.
Tell me to vote early and often.
Yeah, you just missed the vote.
I did. The meeting's over?
No. We're dealing with the draft motion from the programming committee on program council again. And what's at stake is the question of what to do with giving the program council, I'll read the sentence to you. They shall also provide for adjudication of issues arising between, they shall also provide for adjudication of programming issues arising between unpaid staff and management where no other agreed upon means of doing so exists. That's sort of what I sense the consensus is. It's not quite like that in the original proposal, but that sounds like where we're going.
What does this mean? Tell me in practical terms what everybody gets out of this motion.
It means that if you've been feel like you've been screwed by the management and unfairly, and you're an unpaid staff member, and you don't have any organizations which the management has agreed to negotiate with, you can go to this program council and get a hearing.
That sounds okay. I think they better have some organization, but that, in the meantime, I think the other thing sounds better than nothing.
Only as it pertains to programming issues, of course, not to strictly personnel issues.
What's the difference?
Well, if you're smoking pot in the studio and you're caught, you're fired. That's not a programming issue.
So what is a programming issue?
You're taken off the air because the program director doesn't like your program. That's a programming issue.
Well, why should he not be able to do that?
He can do it. If you think it's unfair, you get a chance to get a hearing. And the program council can make a decision on that, and they can make a recommendation to the program council director.
And then what power do they have over the program director?
The program director simply has to respond in public to justify his decision if he decides not to accept their recommendation. So they have that the program director has that responsibility to the board, to this program council.
So, like, give me an example. So, like, Luis Reyes Rivera is kicked off the air. Huh?
That would be an example, yeah.
Okay, and now the LSB or the PNB or the committee, whoever it is, the programming committee, would begin to exert political pressure on the PNB
Janet, you're coming into this late, okay?
Yeah, I know, I am.
Okay, so let me tell you what's happening. It's the program council, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, set up the way joint management committee. It's a management committee. Okay, can advise the program director. It has no power to make the program director do anything, but the program director has to respond to the program council. Okay, so an example would be: you participate in a demonstration in support of. This was actually my situation. This is what resonates with me. In support of keeping Amy Goodman on the air, and you're thrown off, your own show is removed because you participated in the demonstration. Not because of anything about you, but it was basically a political decision.
You're going to kill me, but hold on one second. I'm beginning to understand this. Hold on a minute. Hello? I have to call you back. I'm on a conference call, but I'll call you back. Hi.
So there was no place to go. I mean, that was really the truth of the matter. Management certainly didn't want to hear anything about it. There weren't LSBs at the time, but there was a board, and they didn't want to hear anything about it. And there was nowhere to go.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
So there's sort of some group of people that's able to have a hearing or exert some moral suasion or or assert some kind of, you know, question, you know, over the management.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I think moral suasion was well. Was
okay.
Well
good. Okay.
So can we get agreement on, since we're going to keep it, can we get agreement on the wording that I suggested, which is they shall also provide for adjudication of programming issues arising between unpaid staff and management where no other agreed upon means of doing so exists.
I like that.
Can I say something?
Yeah, and can
somebody
you say
okay. Somebody I think already suggested putting non-personnel issues. What do people think about that? People didn't like that. To clarify, it's not personnel issues. I think I like that.
It's kind of obvious that the program committee cannot get involved in personnel issues as such. I mean, you know, just not its purview. Nothing wrong with adding some language there, but I don't know if it's necessary.
Anybody else want to speak to that? So it says programming issues. It doesn't say explicitly not personnel issues, but...
Well, I think it can't be personnel issues,
no, it wouldn't.
Right?
No, it wouldn't be personnel issues, right.
Okay.
Well, again, I'll give you the example. If you're caught smoking pot or doing something else that's against FCC regulations in the studio and you're told to go home, that's a personnel issue. You may or may not have some kind of union contract that regulates what happens after that, but it just wouldn't be something the program council would be dealing with.
Is that okay, Ankeny? Are you satisfied
if people don't think that it's open to interpretation of every kind, that I'm okay with it. I just want to make sure it's very clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Henry. I have another comment on that sentence.
Yeah, okay.
I think can you refer specifically to the unpaid staff?
Yeah. Could change that.
I think it should apply to all staff. I don't think union is an appropriate vehicle for discussing program issues. So I think that whether people are paid or unpaid, if they have a programming issue, the program council is the appropriate body for that.
Okay.
I'd be happy with leaving off unpaid. I don't see any problem with that. Anybody else want to? Anybody have any objections to that?
I don't object, but you're going to run into opposition.
Yeah, I mean the union really does have a say so in these other things, or actually they don't. A paid producer, if they get fired, and are getting paid, there's a whole different set of, rights there. I think that if they're being paid by the radio station has a right to say, you're not working out. We don't want to pay you anymore. Your program is off. And I don't see really how you can, you know, contest that with a station board exactly. You know what I mean?
It seems to me that, you know, if somebody gets fired, then they have certain rights if they're paid, they have certain rights under the union contract, and the union can go to bat and file a grievance and try to represent them. But what we're talking about here are issues that are now in the purview of management, which is specifically, you know, what goes on the air. You know, what are the policies and priorities, what programs go on at what time, and so on. And those are not issues that are in the collective bargaining agreement, and in my opinion, they shouldn't be. This is a chance for anybody from any part of the staff or from the listener community to bring issues about what kind of programming they want and what they like and don't like. That's what this body is all about. I understand George's case is kind of on the borderline in between, but generally speaking, I don't think my concept, at least, of a program council is not to set up some kind of an arbitration board but for disputes, but to work with a program director to improve the programming, to, you know, to come up with new program ideas, to evaluate existing programs, to you know, deliberate about schedule changes and things like that. So.
Well, we've already decided we're going to keep it in here. So the only question is how, if you have it as unpaid staff, it's very, very clear that it's not going to be
I would say take out unpaid staff. Just
leave staff.
Yeah, I mean, I think. I don't think unions should be involved in that kind of issue, except insofar as they have representatives on the program council.
Except that they have representatives with management. They exist and they have a contract.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be involved in programming decisions.
Yeah.
Wesley here?
Well, they usually are.
Wesley, did you want to speak?
Yeah, can we change it to just programmers?
Yes, that's right.
Rising between programmers and that, yeah, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Does that meet what you wanted, Harry?
Yeah, let's substitute that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if everyone's in a...
Yeah. Well, I'm asking. Henry, does that work for you?
That's fine with, yes, I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that then.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll read, they shall also provide for adjudication of programming issues arising between programmers and management where no other agreed upon means of doing so exists.
Right.
Any objection to that?
Mm-mm.
Excellent. So that's in then, in that form. Is there any other amendments to this that people want to suggest?
I have a question.
Sure.
Going back to implementing the programming policies of the LSB and PNB, how does that work? Would they be saying, okay, you have to implement 5 hours and they mandate the program director to implement that?
Hmm. Yeah, basically.
What does that mean? It could mean a lot of things, but...
Whatever the policies are, they presumably bind management, and so this is essentially an advisory board to management to talk about how to meet those policies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know. I'm not, yeah.
Sounds pretty benign.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it's just... We do actually have some national programming policies, and I guess it might be a problem.
I know. I mean, I guess I'm trying to answer exactly how... what role they will play in implementing policy.
Well, it's the next sentence. Specifically, they shall have the power to review programs and vet new programs, including for compliance with mission, and recommend changes to schedule. So basically it's...
Okay. I'm sorry, go on.
So as I see it working, the program director would say, well, we've got this new program. We have some problems here. We have, in our lineup, the PNB says... we have to have 5 hours of Spanish language programming in a strip. We got to move things around to do that. How are we going to do that? And they'll talk about it and say, well, I think we should do it this way. And they'll say, all right, or not, whichever. And then if he says not, he's got to say, okay, this is why I'm not going to do that. This is what I'm going to do, but thanks for your advice.
That's right.
This is Henry again. The other thing, I mean, the initiative can go both ways. I mean, the program director can come and say, you know, I have this new program I want to put on. What do you think? And where should we put it? And so on and so on. But it also could be, well, we had a lot in the heyday of the program council here. We had a lot of groups of people, you know, sometimes one person, sometimes small collectives, whatever, who came to the program council and said, we have this idea for a program we want to do. So the initiative, and then the program council worked with them to sharpen up and clarify, refine their idea. We did not have a program director at that time, and in fact, there were things we finally, the proposals that we finally recommended went straight to the GM. But if you, I mean, it would work even better if you had a program director participating. So you had an initiative. The initiative could come from either direct, could come from anywhere. It could come from the program director. It could come from people who are members of the program council, or it could come from listeners who brought a proposal to the program council.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I mean, I used an example, but coming from the program director, but it could clearly, and clearly you have experience of it working the other way. And working well.
Absolutely, yes. That's one of our best programs came that way.
Right. Any other changes, any other amendments people want to suggest? Okay, is there any objection to it as amended? Okay, hearing none, I will bring it up to the PNB. I will do a little bit of work in advance this time, talking to people about it so that they know what we have in mind before bringing it up. So I may not bring it up this next Thursday unless I have enough time to talk to people. I'm pretty sure that at least there's a possibility of getting the votes. I think one of the problems was that it was sort of sprung cold on people and they didn't really get what we were looking for. Okay. We have about 10 minutes.
George, I just want to say thank you to you for single-handedly shepherding this thing and managing the discussion tonight. Wherever it goes, I think you did a good job with it. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll second that.
The next item is review and reconsider the motion on modifying Spanish language policy. So the history of that is that an incarnation of this before I was even on it, Alex can maybe speak to it, came up with a motion on essentially studying what we should do in the way of Spanish language policy, and it was preempted on the PNB by a motion which at one point I forwarded to people, but I think I forwarded to people, but I don't know that I forwarded it recently anyway, that recommended that I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, someone who knows better, that there would be a five-hour strip of Spanish language programming at every station at some time during the day or at night. In fact, it was, I know at KPFC it was implemented for a while, and it was eventually no longer done. People felt there was no listenership for it. They weren't raising money, and they, I don't know how they did. I think they had Arbitrons at the time, but they were books. And as far as I understand it, it isn't being done at any of the other stations. Those of you who are at other stations can perhaps speak to that. And so it's basically a policy that's out there that isn't working, that's met a lot of resistance. There's been, I think it was in Publix, one member of the committee had said that they were planning on moving to rescind it, but there's a strong sense, I think, that we should be doing something in the way of outreach to the Spanish-speaking community, tempered by the fact that many of them are actually bilingual. So anyway, that's what's on the floor. Does anyone want to speak to it?
Yeah.
Me too.
I think the current policy that was passed by the PNB should simply be rescinded. And we have to replace it with a much more intelligent approach to Spanish language programming. I don't claim to have the answer to that, but I think it does. It would have something to do with doing some demographic surveys to see how applicable it is in different areas. Probably, I mean, my personal feeling is that we should, Pacifica should make a high priority of getting a Spanish language station, probably in the Los Angeles area to begin with. That to me would make a lot more sense than imposing 5 hours of Spanish language programming across the board, no matter where you are. That makes no sense at all to me.
Ditto.
Janet?
Well, I agree with him. I agree completely with Alex on that. I mean, the main thing here is that we're a communicative operation, and if we can't understand what it is that we're putting on the air ourselves, how in the possible world can we know what we're doing here in that bilingual mode, and unilingual mode in a language we don't know about? Why don't we have Chinese programming? Why don't we have any kind of programming? It's really pandering to a Spanish-speaking audience without really involving them in what way they think what way they might be maximum, would communicate in a maximum way. This is really hamstringing the Spanish language programming as well as our own stations, because we're dropping audiences by enforcing a Spanish language show at a given time, 5 days a week. What does it mean? It's really... It's not practical in any way, and the practicality of it is the way we should be going about it. It's important to have to address this audience, but maybe this is not the way to do it. And I think a bunch of PNB members not inviting people who speak the Spanish language to be participating in the creation of these programs is kind of willful, you know? It's exclusionary. We're not getting any feedback from the community that's supposed to be benefiting from this. I don't really believe in doing studies, you know, here in this case. I really think getting some grassroots opinion would be very, very useful. Really convenient, convening a lot of groups to discuss this issue, how to make Pacifica more accessible to people who speak Spanish, and how to make Spanish more accessible to people who listen to Pacifica. That's a big deal, too, and I don't think we should dismiss that part of it.
You mean like bilingual programs?
Well, bilingual, or some way to engage people in understanding Spanish, speaking Spanish. I think that's a really good thing. You know.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Can I say something?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. First, a question. I'm wondering what was the intention of passing this for all stations? I can understand in Los Angeles and Southern California, we have a very large population of Spanish-speaking. Very large Spanish-speaking population, but I'm wondering for other areas, other stations, different demographics, why would this be imposed on them? But even for us, it's in LA, still difficult. There are many difficulties, such as 5 hours. Implementing 5 hours means losing five programs. So there's a question of which five programs you cut to get off air. Putting 5 hours in the middle of the day means definitely losing listenership, as people suddenly, we go from English to Spanish and then back to English. How do you deal with that?
Right.
How do you promote that in the middle of the day there's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon a Spanish program on KPFK? How do people find out about it and turn on at a specific time at 2 o'clock and then turn it back off. People usually have their radio stations on. In LA, you have many, many, many Spanish language radio stations, television stations, newspapers in abundance. So we were actually really very much in need here, and a progressive public radio station in Spanish. That's what we really
need. On the stack.
We have the population for that. I don't understand though why this would be even important.
Can you put Ali on the stack, please?
Yeah, Ali, you're on. I wanted to Thank see you. If I could get a response to Ankina's question about. I wasn't on the PNB at the time. Were you when this was passed?
That's I'm going to speak to it if she's done.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm done. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Ankina, you have to understand this motion came out of KPFK. You know the people that were behind the formulation of this, and really it was an attempt. To get more Spanish on our station, and it was made into a national motion. And it really, I mean, I have to agree with everything that all three of you have said without really studying, you know, the needs of New York or Washington, D.C. or Houston or Berkeley, you know, and I have nothing against Spanish language programming, but it would be like if there was a city with a large Armenian population imposing Armenian programming on another city that has little or none.
Right.
It's really not thought out properly. And I think the best solution is what Alex said, that Pacifica should vigorously look into creating an all-Spanish station that could be out of Los Angeles and could be streamed online nationwide. But the questions you're asking, Ankine, are exactly that. So while it might be appropriate, Los Angeles, even though there are so many other issues involved with it, it doesn't necessarily translate to all the other stations around the country because the demographics are different in every city.
Yeah.
So I think it does need to be revisited. I think it is an issue that is good that we need to look into, and we need to look into getting more programming in Spanish, in Armenian, in Korean, in Chinese, in Russian. There are so many communities in this country that would look for progressive programming in their own language.
Yeah.
Is there anything else I didn't answer? I think that covers it.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Alex?
You're good, Alex.
Just to add to what I said, even where it may be appropriate to do, like in Los Angeles, it's still, logistically speaking, is very tricky to go from English language programming to suddenly switch to Spanish language programming and then switch back to English language programming. It really sort of poses an identity problem to the station. I'm not saying it can't be done. I think in some cases it can be done, but it has to be very well thought out and planned for, prepared. And while there might be some Spanish language programming on our stations, I think the real way to go would be to create an internet network, a Pacifica internet network for Spanish language programming, and possibly even some other languages whose communities we could serve in different areas.
That's what I just.
That could be supplemented possibly with the HD band or with there's internet radio. In certain communities we might even have possibilities of subsidizing internet radios for the community, something like that. So there's lots of possibilities. There's all sorts of new technology afoot. We're no longer limited just to radio broadcasting. Why not take advantage of that?
Right.
So what I hear is kind of a consensus that we would like to see this motion rescinded.
Lawrence,
welcome back.
Thank you. I was at a meeting and I just got out. I got a call from Wesley saying that you guys make quorum, so just wanted to get in.
Well, I appreciate that. We were discussing the question of the motion that passed the PNB on establishing 5 hours of Spanish language programming in all the stations. And the consensus so far has been that it needs to be repealed, and we need to look into how we can really serve the Spanish community. That wasn't working and is unlikely to work, and that's sort of where we're at. Did you want to speak to that?
Yes, I do. I understand that there was some mention about multilingual programming, and again, I obviously not against that. There's a huge Armenian population in Glendale, Belgrade, that could use some time on the air. I don't think I would be against rescinding. I think what we should do is keep the motion as it is and start doing some research to see how it affects the other geographic areas. So I would definitely be opposed to that, and be opposed to it very strongly, because I just believe that, you know, we need to enrich our network, and I think that's one way of enriching it. It's just a matter of how we get there. I think rescinding it is not a good idea.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to that? Well, actually, no one has actually made a motion to rescind. I was sort of saying what I thought was a consensus, and obviously Lawrence disagrees. Does anyone want to make a motion to rescind?
Let's see. This is Henry. I'm not sure, but let me say my piece, and then maybe by the end I'll have an answer to that question. My problem with the resolution is not with the objective of Pacifica finding more active ways to reach the Spanish. Effective ways to reach the Spanish-speaking population, which actually I think exists in all five of the Pacifica station areas. It exists in a large part of the population in all five of the areas. Maybe that's not true in D.C., but certainly it's true in all the others. My problem is that the resolution seems to specify one particular way of doing that, which for the reasons other people have said, doesn't seem like a very good way to go about it to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether we are really capable, but I think what really should happen would be a task force or something that would get together with people in the community and leaders of the Spanish-speaking communities and try to talk about it, I don't know what that was, but anyway, I'll shut up in a second, but to really work out a much more thought-out, developed plan for how, predominantly English-language stations can effectively begin to serve Spanish-speaking populations.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence, next.
Okay, Lawrence, good.
Can I go, George? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Good.
Yeah. Well, I definitely see that as a friendly notion to create a task force. And the only thing I would like to see in that task force is that it be opened up to Spanish language programmers or even bilingual programmers. And I don't think it should be limited just to Spanish. I also believe that multilingual programming is something that this is the future, So I would definitely see what Henry said as a very friendly notion towards dealing with a somewhat complicated problem.
Does anyone want to make a motion of some kind to?
I'm sorry. So, Lawrence,
does anyone
suggest...
want, want to make a motion out of this to recommend something to the board?
I can make it, George.
Okay, good.
The motion would be that this body recommends that the National Board rescind the motion it previously passed on Spanish language programming, and as a substitute for that, create a task force to study the implementation of Spanish language programming.
Can I speak and other languages as well, right?
And other languages.
I think other languages must be included.
Okay, so recommends the board rescind the motion and create a task force to study the implementation of non-English programming.
Good. Non-English language programming.
Non-English language programming.
Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion on that?
I'll second it.
Is there a consensus on that that we do that?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. We're about 10 minutes over. We have plenty more agenda, but I would suggest that we've done a lot of good work tonight and that we call it an evening. Unless someone wants to move to extend some time.
Second the motion.
Just one question, before we adjourn.
Are you moving to adjourn?
Just one question before we adjourn. Is this meeting going to take place every first Monday of the month, just what I could plan?
It was supposed to be the second Monday of the month. We hadn't been making quorum, and I set this one up instead for one meeting I forgot to post, so I set it up. What's your preference? I mean, it could be the second meeting of the month is a meeting of the frat, which I think Alex is on. That's when we've been meeting.
Wesley also.
And Wesley wants to be on it as well. Is the first Monday of the month all right? Is there any objection to that from those who are here?
No. Just as long as we stick to it, I don't have an objection to it.
So there's no objection to that?
George, no, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Do you think the reason we don't have consensus from until absent is because it's at this time? Is it that people have other meetings at this time? Because I think we should start making, we should figure out why we have so few people joining this meeting.
The reason is because we have too many committees,
meetings,
and too many people in each committee.
Yeah,
and that's the bottom line, especially for national board members. It's been hell this year.
Folks, I have to adjourn myself. I just can't.
I can't stand up anymore. I will send out an email.
I have to keep that too. Thank you. Good night.
Okay.
And see if we can get an agreement on a different time other than the second Monday.
Whatever you say is okay with me, and this, and I go along with it several
days. Good night, Janet.
Night, night. Thank you so much. And thanks,
Wesley.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night, all.